may initially think I'm senile. I don't believe I am. I do realize I'm very cognizant of what I preached last night. But I want to go to Exodus chapter 3 and just touch a couple of these verses again. Exodus chapter 3, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Little Dale Morey, would you pray for us, please?
Father, we do thank you for tonight. We do thank you for your goodness that you've shown each and every one of us to be here already. My God, you have us here for a purpose and a reason to hear what's being preached. It's not by accident that those that are sitting in the pews are sitting here tonight to hear what you have for us. And I pray that you open the ears, open the minds, open the understanding to what you have for them. You did come to seek and to save that which is lost. And my God, I pray once again you show yourself as the great I am and that purpose that you came to save those that are lost, and for that one that may be having troubles as a Christian, Lord, that you'd help them to hear what's being preached tonight. May they leave here differently than when they came in. Be with Brother Tim, be with his preaching as he gives us the word tonight. We'll thank you for it all. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Thank you, brother. We've seen our text, of course, again, the great I am of the word of God. And I want to do exactly what we did last night. I'd like to do it in a different place, but to lay a little bit of groundwork before we do that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And let's look at one place of scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It cannot be overemphasized. For years I'd hear people misquote this, that leave something out. But 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. And this is what I would hear quoted, how that Christ died for our sins. The word of God says according to the scripture.
That's right.
And that he was buried, that he rose again the third day. According to the scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James and of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time, according to the scriptures. You cannot overemphasize enough that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. If I wouldn't hurt people's feelings, we could probably spend an hour on false doctrines about Easter. The false doctrines about Good Friday. The false doctrines about the scripture concerning Jesus Christ. But he died for our sins according to the scriptures. Let's go to the book of Acts in chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, this is the great message that Peter preaches on the day of Pentecost. And I'll start at verse 22 of Acts 2. Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, A man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad, moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life, thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. And I want to look at these next two verses. It's paramount to what we'll preach tonight. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus, the Jesus of the Scriptures, the Christ of the Scriptures, hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. In verse 30, the word of God says, therefore, being a prophet. And by the way, knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him. David was called a prophet of God. In Luke 24, we saw where in 1 Corinthians, the word of God told us in chapter 15, that he had appeared to the 12, to Cephas, the 12, and then above 500 brethren. And we'll see where he did that in Luke 24. And in verse 25, he says, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then, later on in the chapter, he goes aside with the 11. And in verse 36, as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself, handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. The bodily resurrection of Christ. And we had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet, and while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. When he revealed himself to them to be the Christ of the scriptures, then he opened their understanding and they knew indeed that he was the Christ. Not many days hence, Peter stands and preaches that great message on the day of Pentecost. And what does he quote? He quotes the Psalms concerning Jesus Christ. He quotes the Psalms concerning the resurrection. Why? Because Jesus Christ has opened his understanding. David, the great prophet of God, has prophesied aforetimes concerning Jesus Christ. We'll go to the book of Psalms tonight in Psalms chapter 6. I would ask this of you. To be honest, I have a little bit difficult task tonight. For some of these passages are seemingly obscure concerning Christ. But I want to notice our theme as we did last night as we go through the Psalms. I want you to notice two small words in the Scriptures. And those words, as they were last night, are simply, I am. In Psalm 6 and verse 2, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with tears. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all my enemies. He establishes in the Psalms, this is to the chief musician on Neginoth upon Sheminith, a psalm of David. And the Lord establishes the doctrine that Peter is going to preach at Pentecost, and he does it in the Scriptures. And he does it in Psalm chapter 6. And to do that, let's take again this psalm, but let's hold our place and go to Psalm 16, and let's read what David prophesied concerning Christ. And then when Jesus Christ opened Peter's understanding, Peter preaches at the day of Pentecost in Psalm 16. And I want you to notice, starting in verse 7, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. This is what Peter's quoting. My reins also shall instruct me in the night season. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Now notice this. Peter has told us this is Jesus Christ. David, the patriarch, he is dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. He tells us this is Christ. Peter is using the understanding God has given him to unlock the Scripture so that we can now look at the Psalms with confidence and say, I see Christ in the Psalms. Amen. And so he goes on and he says this, therefore my heart is glad, in verse 9, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Now, it's important to understand this when you're looking at the Psalms. David does have a soul. And there are times David speaks of his soul, the turmoil of his soul, the agony of his soul. But there are times that David is filling the role of a prophet. And he's speaking of someone else. The Holy Ghost has moved him to speak. And he's speaking of Christ. And that's what we have in Psalm 6. Note with me again, have mercy upon me, O Lord. And watch this little word, for I am weak. You say, is that fail safe? Pretty much. I am weak. Now that throws people off right away because they want this muscular Jesus that lifted weights and was the carpenter's son, and they don't understand that his weakness was not frailty. He was weak because he was beaten beyond recognition. His visage was marred more than any man. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. And so this is the Christ that is speaking. He's been brought low. He's been made weak. And he said, then heal, O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. And notice verse 3. My soul is also sore vexed. That's what David spake of. That's what Peter identifies. His soul is sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord. Why? The Lord has departed him. O my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul, O save me. And like what he says here, for thy mercy's sake. His mercy reacheth unto the heavens, and his truth unto the clouds. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? That's the body of Jesus Christ. He is dead. His body is in the grave. He says, I am weary with my groaning. All the night I make my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. Now, it's important to make sure that we touch other scripture as we preach. Because Isaiah 53 told us he's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. The Word of God told us that surely he hath carried our sorrows, or hath borne our grief and carried our sorrows. And so we see sorrow through the Psalms. Did David sorrow? Yes, he did. Did David have grief? Yes, he did. Jesus Christ was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. And so we see these words pop up in the Psalms, but we see again in verse 6, I am weary. The great I am of the book of Exodus. The I am of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. Psalm 22, if you will. I'm going to jump on a stump here. Long before there was an evangelist, Tim McVeigh, there was adult Sunday school teacher, Tim McVeigh. And I went and I researched worms one time. And I found out the European earthworm was not the worm of the Word of God. And that staggered me. Because that's all I heard my whole life. Most likely it's acquainted with a maggot. A worm is an invertebrate. It has no backbone. It has no strength. It lives in the dung heap. It lives in the garbage. It's blind. It cannot see. It lives off of vibration. It cannot operate without help of moisture. And it lives in darkness. The characteristics of a worm. In Psalm 22 and verse 6. But I am a worm and no man. A reproach of men. And he says here, and despised of the people. So again, the psalmist establishes a pattern in Jesus Christ. We see as he establishes that pattern in Christ, he is speaking of Christ. He is prophesying of that one to come that is made a worm and no man. Job told us of that, and I don't want to quote it wrong, in Job 25 and verse 6. Job is speaking of that when he said this, how much less man that is a worm and the son of man, which is a worm. Jesus Christ, I am a worm and no man. A reproach of men and despised of the people. We go on down a little bit and we see in verse 13, they gaped upon me with their mouths as a raving and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water. There it is again, two little words. I am poured out like water. And all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. And my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. Now, I will quote again from the book of Job. Job was far more a prophet than most people want to acknowledge. It took me 25 years to really begin to even scratch the surface of understanding that Job was a great prophet also of God. Job 25, or verse 16, or verse, or chapter 16, verse 13, he said, his archers compass me round about. He cleaveth my reins asunder and doth not spare. He poureth out my gall upon the ground. Isaiah 53, one of the most well-known passages concerning Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Isaiah writes on this wise, he shall see of the travail of his soul in verse 11 and shall be satisfied. He said, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He laid down his life, and then he poured out his soul unto death. That's why David, prophesying concerning Christ, he said, I am poured out like water. I am. Psalm 25 and verse 16. Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The book of Psalms in chapter 31 and verse 9. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief. Why? Because it's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And my years with sighing, my strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, who I am. But especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance, they that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. In verse 21, he said, blessed be the Lord, for he has shown me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. Again, we see the I am of Scripture. We see the I am of Psalms. We see the I am of the prophet David. That's why God had to open their eyes of understanding to see all the things concerning him in the law and in the prophets, in Moses' law, in the prophets, and in the Psalms, when he met with them and expounded the Scriptures to them. They could not see that this was anyone but David. And Jesus Christ opened their understanding. And then he gave Peter the keys. And Peter preached that great message on Pentecost to give us a little bit of understanding, that we also might understand the Scripture. Psalm 38 and verse 6. I want you to notice a pattern here as well. Continually, we see again in verse in chapter 38, chapter 25, chapter 31, chapter 22, chapter 6, a psalm of David to bring to remembrance. Psalms written by David. Psalms to be sung. Psalms written in prophecy of that one which is to come. And he goes on in chapter 38 and verse 6. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease. There is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by the reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. So the light of mine eyes, it is also gone from me. And again, I realize in David's calamity, David, of course, is speaking of himself in some ways. But in his own calamity, he's speaking of that one which is to come. God has unlocked the scriptures through David. How he died for our sins according to the scriptures. If he was never a worm, he wouldn't be the Christ. If he never had sorrow, he wouldn't be the Christ. If he wasn't a man of grief, he wouldn't be the Christ. He'd be the Christ this world has. He'd be the pretty Jesus with the long flowing locks, and the beautiful sculpted face, and the muscles. He'd be the popular Jesus. He'd be the hip Jesus. But no, he's the Christ that died according to the scriptures. Amen. The I am of the word of God. Yes. In verse chapter 39, to the chief musician, even to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. In verse 10, remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. I'll read this for a dear brother that shared with me how God convicted him and God dealt with him over this passage. In Job 16 and verse 10, they have gaped upon me with their mouth. They have smitten me upon the cheek reproachfully. They have gathered themselves together against me. God hath delivered me to the ungodly and turned me over into the hands of the wicked. I was at ease, but he who, God, hath broken me asunder. He who, the Lord, hath also taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces and set me up for his mark. So when the psalmist tells us, remove that stroke away from me, I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. He's talking of the great I am. And verse 12, hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner as all my fathers were. Let me pause. Let's rehash. I don't want to lose you. I want you to stay with me, but I want you to stay with me by faith. Good. Not intellect, by faith. Jesus came and appeared before that multitude and expounded Moses' law and the prophets concerning himself. Then he appears to the 11. He has that broiled fish and that honeycomb. He shows them his body, his flesh. And then he opens his mouth and reveals to them the things concerning himself in Moses' law and in the prophets and in the Psalms. Explicitly, the Word of God told us he appeared to Cephas. And he opens his mouth. And he preaches Jesus Christ. He preaches him dying, buried, and resurrected. How? According to the Scriptures. We okay? I am is the I am of the Word of God. And it's no coincidence. It's not happenstance. It's God showing us this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. One by one, these verses intertwine with the sufferings of Christ. The abuse that he faced, the beatings, the grief, the sorrow, the tears. Wet his couch with tears. Weeping may endure for a night. As these verses intertwine with each other, we see Jesus Christ And we see the man that he was that wept for us and grieved for us and sorrowed for us and was beaten for us and was bruised for us and then died for our sins according to the scripture. Amen. Was buried and resurrected after 3 days according to the scripture. And this is just the Psalms.
Yes.
Psalms chapter 40. In verse 17, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Why make no tarrying? His soul's been offered for sin. Make haste. Two different times I found the Psalms where we asked the Lord to make haste. Deliver me. Save me. Jesus Christ, that man of sorrows acquainted with grief, he suffered for us, but he suffered according to the scriptures. In Psalm 56, in verse 3, let me start in verse 1 on this because this is a pretty strong psalm. Jesus Christ, be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, notice that, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps. Notice this. Key word. When they wait for my soul. What's changed? Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion. Walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Why? To destroy your soul. Yet he offered his soul for us, Jesus Christ. Shall they escape by iniquity and thine anger? Cast down the people, O God. Can I just tell you a little story about my life? It was kind of ho-hum, humdrum. I was on cruise control. And I was sitting in my chair in the living room one morning. And I came across this passage, and it's one of those the Lord said, stop, go back. And he said in verse 8, thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Now listen, our podcast tomorrow, the Lord just impressed upon me today to deal with some of these colons, a sentence within a sentence in the Word of God. Look at what he says here. Thou tellest my wanderings, colon. There's a new thought. There's a new statement here. A new sentence, if you will. Put thou my tears into thy bottle, colon. End of statement. Are they not in thy book? Take that middle statement out. Let's read that. Thou tellest my wanderings. Are they not in thy book? The world couldn't contain if it was all written of him. Yes, his wanderings are written in the book. Right. Yes, his wanderings have been given to us.
Yes.
Put thou my tears in thy bottle. Why? It's God's tears. As he shed his blood, gave his blood for us, offered it for us, so also his tears were shed for us. The tears of Jesus Christ. Now, don't you think me Pentecostal. Don't you think me weird. Don't think me crazy. Where else are his tears? You find him, you call me. He said, put down my tears in thy bottle. People go, well, McVeigh's gone too far. I might not have gone far enough. Because some of those tears were shed for me. Some of those tears were shed for you. Let me ask you a question. Do you want them kept as a remembrance? I sure do. When he sees those tears kept in that bottle, he knows the tears that were shed for me. He knows the tears that were shed for you. He knows as he wept in the night and watered that couch with tears that it was for us. Well, McVeigh's gone crazy. Psalm 69. Now, let me tell you what. I'm going to be honest with you. I'll tell you how you can convince me otherwise. Go find the bottle, open it up, and see whose tears are in there. And if it's not the tears of Jesus Christ, I'll recant. If it's not his tears, I'll repent. And I'll say I was wrong. Amen. Psalm 69, verse 2. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. In verse 8, I am become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children. In verse 17, and hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Verse 20. Reproach hath broken my heart, for I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. What did he say before that? I am full of heaviness. Psalm 69 to the chief musician upon Shoshana, a psalm of David. Verse 29, but I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs. The humble shall see this and be glad. And your heart, listen, shall live that seek God. How does your heart live? Through Christ. Through I am. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and of death. He'll make your heart alive if you'll seek him. Not an experience, not flashing lights, not bells and whistles. I am. Psalm chapter 70 to the chief musician, a psalm of David to bring to remembrance. In verse 5, but I am, again, poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying. Psalm 71 and verse 7. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Psalm 86 and verse 1. Now, I realize there's some people sitting here that may not understand. That's all right. There's some saying, how long is this going to go on? That's all right, too. But can you dispute the time after time after time in a psalm concerning Jesus Christ Those two little words appear, I am. I am. You see, it's all glory and shouting. And I mean, I rejoiced inwardly last night greatly. I rejoiced through the night. When you see when the New Testament and Jesus Christ himself is speaking in the New Testament, I am the bread of life. I am the water. I am the good shepherd. Hey, listen, it is rejoicing. But you realize this is still Jesus Christ speaking? The problem is a lot of you don't see it as Jesus Christ. But it is. He's not saying he is. He's saying I am. It's the same Christ. It's the same Savior. It's the same God that Moses met at the burning bush. I am that I am. The problem is, he's speaking through the Psalms. And that's hard for some of us to swallow. Same I am. Same God of glory. Psalm 88. Psalm 86, excuse me, verse 1. He says, bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. In verse 2, he says, preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Then we'll go to Psalm 88. That's a prayer of David. Psalm 88 and verse 4, a song or psalm for the sons of Korah. To the chief musician upon Mahalath, Leonoth, Maskil of Heman the Ezrahite. In Psalm 88 and verse 4, I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength. In verse 8, thou hast put away mine acquaintance far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination unto them. I am shut up, I cannot come forth. Verse 15, I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. I am. While I suffer thy terrors, we spoke with them. God ran upon him like a giant. God choked him, took him by the neck and shook him. I suffer thy terrors. I am distracted. Let me stop and say this there. Better get a hold of Isaiah 53. He said, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. What man did to Jesus Christ pales to what the Godhead did. Under the cover of darkness, Jesus Christ has made sin for us who knew no sin. Under the cover of darkness, finally Jesus Christ gets to that place. He's borne your iniquity. He's taken your sin in his body. He died for the sins of the whole world. And as he's dying, he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The psalmist said, why art thou so far from helping? The Son is separated from the Godhead. For the first and only time in all of eternity, there's a separation. Why? Because he's taken our sin upon himself. He suffered according to the Scriptures. He died according to the Scriptures. Psalm 102 and verse 2. Hide not thy face from me. This is the prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed and poureth out his complaint before the Lord. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke. My bones are burned as an hearth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass that I forget to eat my bread. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. He's speaking of I am. In verse 11, my days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. Psalm 109. And I want you to see this. There's two parts to this. We're in the second part of Psalm 109, just to be clear about this. He says in verse 21, but do thou for me, O God, the Lord, for thy name's sake, because thy mercy is good, deliver thou me, for I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I am gone like a shadow when it declineth. I am tossed up and down as the locust. My knees are weak through fasting. My flesh faileth of fatness. I became also a reproach unto them. When they looked upon me, they shake their heads. Help me, O Lord my God. O save me according to thy mercy. Jesus Christ, I am. Psalm 119, 107. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Verse 120. I have done my judgment. Verse 120. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. And I don't think it's a stretch there. I wrestled with Psalm 119 for a long time. I don't think it's a stretch. Psalm 141. Psalm 119, verse 141, excuse me. I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts. You know what sealed that for me? I was reading over in Exodus after the art of the apothecary, and I saw that apothecary made that perfume, beaten small. He said, I am small and despised. That doesn't have to do anything for you. But it convinced me. I am. I am. I am. Psalm 142 and verse 6. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. And look at the rest. This is our last verse of the night. Now, some of you that know me would be shocked. It's 8:01. Is there anybody here that knows me that's ever seen me stop preaching at 8:02? It's a miracle. Amen. It's a miracle. I laid my children down to bed last night at 9:10 p.m. And I was preaching a meeting. I told my wife, I said, it's 9:10. And our children are in bed and we're in meeting and I preached. Miracle. Psalm 142 and verse 6. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison. Okay, Peter, you got it. Okay, Peter, you do understand it. Okay, Peter, he has opened your understanding. Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. I am Jesus Christ of the Psalms. Jesus Christ of David's Psalms. Jesus Christ has told us by the prophets. Now, here's instruction for us. One is McVeigh off his rocker. Well, that's fine. I don't mind. Just prove it. Secondly, dispute these Psalms and prove that they're not Jesus Christ. The best option. Look for Christ in it. Because when you see him, you'll know it's him. When you see him, you'll know it. There is none other. And he that stood before that burning bush, Moses, his law. Tomorrow night with the Lord's help, we're going to look at the I am of the law. You know why? Because there's no coincidences in this King James Bible.
That's right. Amen.
Yep.
And I am was to Abraham, it was to Isaac, it was to Jacob, he was to Joseph. We saw last night, he's in the last chapter of the Revelation.
That's right.
He's still I am. Tonight, I hope you learned the I am of the Psalms. Now do me a favor. Don't choke on it. Grasp it. Get a CD. Listen to it. Read those chapters. And see if you see Christ. Psalm 22, Psalm 16, Psalm 6, Psalm 50. Was it 56? Oh, easily. It's just blatant. Boom, it's right there. That's Jesus Christ. Absolutely, messianic Psalms. Even the Protestants got that figured out. But you start taking some of those other texts. You say, Lord, show me. Let me see you. When I first started looking at the messianic Psalms, I'll be honest with you, I wrestled. There's times I wasn't sure. Is it David? Is he speaking of Christ? Who's he speaking of? This is when I thought for sure he was speaking to Jesus Christ. And finally, I just came to the summation. This is just David's calamity. This is just David's plight. There's another one I wrestled with, and I'm looking at it just through those jaded eyes of my mindset and my thinking and all the foolishness of me and the foolishness of my ways and my thoughts. And I look at it, I'm looking at these two little words, and they're just jumping out of the page at me, and I just don't want to see them. You know what those two words were? I am. I find it conceited. Lord, I don't understand it. But I sure do believe it. Amen. And Psalm 109, I wrestled. How he changes so quickly. And I realize that has to be Jesus Christ. It can be none other. Do you see it? Do you see him? Try to magnify him tonight. I know it's heavy. I knew it would be heavy. I sat back there and prayed. I said, Lord, would you make this as clear as you can? Because I certainly can't make it clear. But do you see Jesus Christ? Or is it just words? Do you see him high and lifted up by faith? Or is it just words? Can I say this? When I got born of God, I began to see him. This was no longer just a jumble of words. This is no longer obligatory reading. I began to see him.
Amen.
Tell you a little story. I'm done. I'm sorry about the 802 thing. Some of you got your hopes up. I apologize. I was reading Job 16 one day, sitting in my chair. And I came leaping out of my chair. I'm not being funny. My children were asleep. My wife was upstairs. As quietly as I could yell, I said, that's him. That's him. That's him. I waited a little bit. Sent a text out. Just a couple of folks typed up a text with some things God had showed me. Sent out to a few preachers. This marvelous wonderful Savior I'd learned song in Job 16. A couple of them said, brother, that's amazing. Brother, I've never seen that. Brother, one man said, oh, you never saw that before? I'm just so dumb. But I promise you this, when I see it, I believe it. I hope you see it tonight.